As we begin, it was about six and a half weeks ago. Those of you who are here, I invited you to come on a journey with me. It was a journey of repentance. And so we've been talking about that and going through this thing. And today I want to keep with that theme, but I want to invite you to go with me on a journey. This time, a journey to the empty tomb. Jim Cimbala, who is the senior pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York, he tells the story of one of his Easter services where he was tired after the service was over. And he was sitting up there on the altar on the stage and just kind of had his feet dangling. And he caught the eyes of a guy, a gentleman who was sitting about six rows back. And he could tell that the man was homeless. And he just knew that he was going to ask him for some money. And so when the man got up and approached him, Jim reaches back to his pocket to start getting some money, and the guy approached him. He says, "So what is your name?" And the guy responded and said his name was David, and he asked him, "So David, how long have you been living on the streets?" And his reply was, "6 years." "Where did you sleep last night, David?" And David replied and said that he had been sleeping in an abandoned car. He asked David how old he was, and David said he was 32, but he looked every bit 50 plus because he had been weathered because of living out on the streets. His hair was matted. He smelled horrific. And as Jim was reaching back to his pocket to get some money, knowing that the policy of the church was not to give money, but to take someone out to get them something to eat, David kind of pushed his hand and said, "No, I don't want any of your money. I want the Jesus that you talked about. I'm not going to make it. I will die on the street." And that day, Jesus changed David's life. It was a true conversion. A life changed. David started memorizing scripture. He allowed God to change his life. David actually went on to serve there at Brooklyn Tabernacle, first as a maintenance man, and then he actually went into the ministry. Pastor Cimbala, he began to weep, and poor David, he had no idea what was happening. And Pastor Cimbala pleaded with God and said, "God, forgive me. Forgive me, please forgive me. I am so sorry to represent you this way. I'm so sorry. Here I am with my message and my points, and you send somebody, and I'm not ready for it." And if you're here today, and you're thinking that Easter is all about you, you know, it's all about the eggs, and the kids are running around searching for eggs. Maybe your family is getting together later on, and you're going to have food in these family gatherings. If you're thinking that Easter is all about you, then you're going to miss Easter. Because Easter is all about Jesus. From start to finish, it's all about Jesus. There is a difference between celebrating Easter and the living of Easter. Bruce Larson, he said, "The events of Easter cannot be reduced to a creed or philosophy." See, we're not asked to believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. We are asked to meet the person who was raised from the dead. In faith, we move from a belief in a doctrine to a knowledge of a person. Ultimate truth is a person. We met him. He is alive. In 1957, Lieutenant David Steeves, he walked out of the California Sierras some 54 days after his Air Force trainer jet crashed and disappeared. He related an unbelievable tale of how he had lived in the snowy wilderness after parachuting from his disabled plane. And by the time he showed up alive some 54 days later, he had actually been declared officially dead. When further search failed to turn up the wreckage, a hoax was actually suspected, and Steves was forced to resign under a cloud of doubt. His story was confirmed, however, some 20 years later when a Boy Scout troop happened to come along the wreckage of his plane. There's another survival story from centuries ago that is still controversial. It's a man by the name of Jesus Christ. He walked out of the wilderness making claims that a lot of people found difficult to believe. He was later executed, pronounced dead. 3 days later, he showed up alive, and there have been skeptics ever since. But if we consider the facts of Christ's life, his death, and even his resurrection, his integrity is well-founded. Prophets foretold his coming hundreds of years before he even showed up. There were eyewitnesses to his resurrection. And today the Holy Spirit confirms that Jesus is alive to anyone who is seeking to know the truth. You see, Jesus did what he said he would do. There was no doubt there was something special about a man who could heal the blind, who could cause crippled people to walk again. There are proven witnesses to the resurrection by all different kinds of people, including historians who were not even believers. But to me, the most important is the promised Spirit of God to us that today confirms with our spirit that the truth is this Jesus came and lived and died for us. Now, deep inside, we know that we are sinners and that we need Jesus. He is the only way for us not to die in our sins. And you can believe this, but do you? See, each and every one of these factors helps us to make our decision about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to us. The resurrection is a fact of history, and it demands a response. No response is a response. A little background information on our scripture before we get into it. See, Jesus, he has already gone down the Via Dolorosa, his way of suffering. He has been mocked and ridiculed, ultimately crucified for proclaiming to be the Son of the living God. He was betrayed by Judas, who was one of his best friends, closest followers. He was betrayed by Pontius Pilate, who, even though Pontius Pilate knew better, he took the way of the loudmouth crowd, the people, and he spared the life of Barabbas, who was a known murderer and an insurrectionist. And an innocent man was put to death. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb with guards that were standing in front of the entrance just in case what he said would happen would actually happen. Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. And so the guards, they went to the tomb and they put their seal on the stone. Most people think that the guards are the ones that rolled the rock over the front of the entrance of the tomb, but it was not. Scripture tells us in Matthew 27, Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. And you see, that is why the guards were sent. That is why the guards had to go there to make this tomb as secure as possible. And so they secured it and put their seal over the entrance. And that gets us to our scripture this morning, which is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And for those of you who are willing to and would like to, I would ask you to stand. If you can't, you don't want to, that's perfectly fine. We're going to read Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. And if that scripture, the story of the whole resurrection, Jesus not being there, if it doesn't get your spirit to jumping with excitement, your feet to dancing, your heart to jumping, and your mind to just worship what Jesus has just done, I don't know what will. See, what Jesus said would happen, it happened. What the prophets had predicted, it was coming to pass from hundreds of years before. The women, they had gone to the tomb to check it out, to basically check Jesus out. It was the custom back then that they were going to go there and they would finish preserving the body of their Lord Jesus. But when they got there, they're greeted by this angelic being who had already opened the tomb. "Do not be afraid," it says, "for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Notice this angelic being, it comforted the women there, but the guards, they're paralyzed with fear. They were like dead men. They received no comforting. The women are then told to go and tell the other disciples what Jesus had just done. That right there is the gospel in a nutshell. To go and tell others what Jesus has done. See, there are different reactions to the resurrection. The women, they went to spread the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus. The guards, they went to spread lies about the resurrection. You know, that it did not really happen, even though they were there and they had witnessed it. They had experienced it firsthand. The greatest miracle of God is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing that God could ever give to each and every one of us is his son Jesus Christ to provide for us a way of salvation. The good news, it is the death, the burial, and especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate his birth at Christmas, and we celebrate the resurrection at Easter. You see, it all had to happen. If you eliminate any part, then he would not have died for our sins. It would no longer be called good news. But see, no one could stop the plan of God. Satan couldn't do it. The Pharisees, they couldn't do it. Pontius Pilate, he couldn't do it. Neither could any of the other elected officials. Jesus, he was going to go to the cross. There would be a resurrection so that we, each and every one of us, would have the opportunity of a resurrection for our own lives and be freed from the bad things we've done, from our sins. The only way that you can stop the plan of God for your life is to not accept what Jesus Christ has already done for you on the cross. Pilate, he goes and he asks the crowd, "What shall I do then with this Jesus who is called the Messiah?" And the crowd, they answer back, "Crucify him." They started shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now Pilate, he's surprised by this decision. And he says, "I am innocent of this man's blood. He is your responsibility." But you see, here right now, we cannot wash our hands of a decision. We accept what Jesus has done or we reject it. And to do nothing is a rejection. One of Jesus' last words here on this earth, recorded in John chapter 19, is, "It is finished." It was finished because Jesus came and he died for our sins. He was sure that God the Father was going to resurrect him. Jesus has done all that he could do for us. He will do everything for us except force you and I to do something that we don't want to do. If he did that, then it would no longer be free will. It would be forced. It would be robotic. There would be no choice in it. The choice would be taken away. And it would no longer be a free gift that he offers to us. For those that accept his resurrection, he stands there with arms wide open, just waiting. For those that say they believe in the resurrection, but they're not going to allow this resurrected Jesus to change their lives, he still stands there with his arms wide open, just waiting. There are those who struggle with doubts, and Jesus says, "Come and I'll show you. I'll help you to believe." For those that reject him openly and they have no desire to come, he says, "I love you enough to offer you salvation. But if you want to spend your life without God, he will not force you to spend it with him. He will simply separate himself. Because you see, if it's what we want, then he will give us what it is that we've wanted." So what are you going to do with this resurrected Jesus this morning? Was the stone rolled away so that Jesus could somehow get out of the tomb? No, not at all. Jesus, he was already gone. It was rolled away so that the women, so that the world could see that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Can you imagine the excitement that the women experienced when they go and they look in the tomb and it's empty? They run and they tell the disciples, and Peter and John, they ran back to the tomb as quick as they could and they looked in. Can you just imagine the excitement that was there? Do you think that on that morning there were tears of joy as they were so overwhelmed by what has just taken place? To run to Jerusalem and to see the resurrected Savior. And one day we will get to experience that with him standing in front of us with his arms wide open and love beyond all measure. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when my face is before you. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And what a wonderful day that will be. What we are experiencing here right now, it's not a religion, it's not a doctrine, it's not a denomination. It is the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirits that Jesus is alive and that he desires for you to have a loving, living relationship with him, not only in heaven, but here in this life, in earth right now. The empty tomb means that we have a chance for new life. Listen to the words of Peter. Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times the night before he was crucified. And later, Jesus went back to him and basically forgave him three times and reinstated him. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So this morning, what will you do with the resurrected Jesus? The choice is yours. No one can make it for you, only you can. Either you accept him or you reject him. In a few moments, we're going to observe a baptismal service. And up behind me back here, there's a baptistry. It's filled with water. The water is nice and warm. There are a few people who have said they would like to be baptized. And so we believe, in obedience and in following after Jesus Christ, that we get baptized. And we baptize people. We completely submerge them in the water. And the idea behind that is when you go under the water, you die to your old self and you come up as a new person, a new self, a new being. Worship team is going to come up and lead us in a song. We're going to get ready. And then I would invite you, those of you who want to, you're welcome to come on up here and crowd in front of it. We'll try to get all that stuff out of the way. There's nothing real magical about a baptism. It is simply symbolic. It is an outward expression of what has taken place on the inside. It is simply being obedient. Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist came preaching repentance and the baptism of sin. And so we'll get ready. And if you weren't planning on it, but the Spirit is speaking to you and you want to get baptized, you are more than welcome to get baptized as well.